Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
FootballTalk.com, NBC Sports, Twitter.com/ProFootballTalk.
Day by day, day by day, we get better and better.
We get better. NFL Insider, Mike Florio.
Mullion Hall, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 to the score. Mike Florio joins us on the St. Charles Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram Hotline, home of the real deal. We love our chance to talk with him. Good morning, Michael. How are you?
Morning, Mike.
Doing great. How are you guys?
Oh, we're living the dream here. And I got to tell you, I was interested to hear that every team now gets a Dr. Phil, your own Dr. Phil. There'll be big news in the NFL starting this season. Each team gets a mental health clinician that is got to spend 8 to 12 hours a week talking to players about their various issues, and the league trying to get in front of some of these mental health issues that have bothered teams for a while. It seems like a really good idea.
I think it makes a ton of sense. You know, I think in many situations, having that resource available so guys don't have to ask for it. A lot of guys don't want to ask for it. They don't know how to ask for it. They think it's a sign of weakness to ask for it. If the resource is available and it's just a matter of slipping into the office at the right time and even under the guise initially of just, hey, how are you? You know, I haven't met you. Just how you doing? And then it gradually evolves into something more where the person's actually getting the assistance that they need. I think it makes a ton of sense. And hey, the other thing too, the committee to study marijuana use as pain management, that's huge because the NFL had been digging into that war on drug stance for all these years and would not even consider the possibility of letting players use marijuana for pain management. Now they're going to study it jointly with the NFLPA. I think that's great too.
That's progress as well. Mike, when you look at the Buccaneers, they cut Gerald McCoy after 9 seasons yesterday. What's his future look like?
Well, I mean, here's the thing. The Browns were the only team that had been linked to Gerald McCoy as a possible trade partner. And I look at it this way. If anybody was willing to pay him big money, they would have traded for him because you trade for the contract as much as the player if you like the contract that the player currently has. But the Buccaneers didn't like the contract, and nobody else liked it enough to trade for it. So now he has to go out to the open market and see what he can leverage. And it could be that his attitude was, you know what, the Buccaneers eventually are going to squeeze me to take less. If I'm going to take less, how about I take it with a team that's actually been to the playoffs once in the last decade? So, he's languished as one of the rare bright spots in a franchise that has just been horrendous since he entered the league back in 2010. And he gets his chance now to go try to chase a championship. And, the Patriots are one of these teams. You never know when they're going to swoop in and grab somebody. And it wouldn't surprise me if they made a play for him. The Browns continue to be hovering out there. The question becomes, how much money can he really get when you consider Ndamukong Suh's available, Muhammad Wilkerson's available, Corey Leach's available. Now you got another veteran defensive lineman who pops up in late May. What can you pay? What can one of those guys get when there's other alternatives available that they can go sign instead?
Interesting to see Patrick Mahomes talking about playing in Mexico City. The Kansas City Chiefs will play the San Diego Chargers in November, and Mahomes says he can throw the ball between 80 and 85 yards when he's in Denver. And he thinks that, Denver's a mile-high city. If I guess Mexico City's a mile and a half, roughly, so maybe he can throw the ball 100 yards in the air.
Wow.
And everyone's laughing at him, but he really believes he could throw a 100-yard pass. Wouldn't that be awesome?
I'm not doubting the guy. He could say anything, and no matter how outlandish it sounds, I'm not going to say the guy can't do it.
They should build a city, like a stadium in La Paz, Bolivia, and play a game there and see if he could do it.
The thing about him this year, he's already the betting favorite to win MVP again. I think a lot of it depends upon how good the team is. every defense out there is going to face Patrick Mahomes this year, and he does the tour of the NFC North, so the Bears will get a crack at him at some point. They are going to have spent the entire offseason coming up with ways to find weaknesses, exploit weaknesses, the old Bill Belichick thing, take away the thing he likes to do, force him to do the thing he doesn't like to do. Is there anything that Mahomes doesn't like to do? Is there anything he can't do? We see the body positions, the arm angles, the left-handed pass when needed, the no-look pass. It's going to be interesting to see what the defensive coordinators have cooked up in the offseason laboratory and whether or not that takes any of the steam out of the Chiefs' offense.
Mike, I don't know if it's died down, but my favorite rumor from the past week was involving the Jets and Peyton Manning and looking at possibly tapping him to be their next general manager or have some role in their front office. Where does that stand?
Well, you know, and we had reported that on Friday night. I was in having a conversation with someone on something unrelated Friday afternoon, and it's someone I trust very much, and said, hey, look, this is the rumor. I mean, league circles. I mean, it doesn't take much to tap into the pipeline of what people in the league are talking about, and this Peyton Manning thing was real. Now, Manning reportedly isn't interested. That came out last night from Ralph Vacchiano of SNY. But we spent a lot of time on PFT Live yesterday delving into the what would it take to get Peyton Manning. Because here's the thing. Peyton Manning may be the perfect intersection of what the Jets need right now. They need someone who will come in and run the ship well and be that great strategic thinker that CEO Christopher Johnson is looking for. But you also need to have somebody who can work with Adam Gase. You know, you bring in the best available candidate. If that person hasn't previously worked with Gase or know Gase, then that person's going to want to fire Gase and hire his own head coach, and you never have everybody on the same page. Manning and Gase, by virtue of their time in Denver, would be on the same page. And I like, what would be the offer Peyton Manning can't refuse? I said yesterday I'd offer him $20 million a year and 2% of the franchise to come in and run the organization. That 2% of the franchise would be worth about $58 million. So I think that something like that could get his attention. Whereas, you know, maybe he's not interested. You make him interested by how much money you put on the table.
I thought it was interesting. The OTAs obviously starting around the league, and Arizona has their whole team, and they have Kyler Murray, and Cliff Kingsbury says, I'm very curious to see how he can play without also playing baseball. That he's played both sports for most of his career, and you don't think about the idea of specialization somehow making a guy better when you're talking about athletic ability, but it probably is true. He probably concentrating just on one sport would make him better at that sport.
Yeah, but you know, we talked about this earlier on PFT Live. When you've got those limitations on how many hours they can have you around for the football program, like whatever time he's spending playing baseball, that's probably just extra time that he otherwise would be hanging out with his friends or studying or whatever. It's not like he was taken away from football to focus on baseball. So, I agree. The guy's all in now with football, and we'll see how good he can be. But when I saw Kingsbury's comments, I kind of read between the lines as maybe trying to reduce the expectations. Like, hey, you know, this guy's never been all football, and we're going to find out over the next 8 or 9 months how quickly we can get him to the point where we want him to be. Almost like, let's not expect Baker Mayfield right out of the gates. Let's not expect Patrick Mahomes in his first year as a starter. Let's reduce our bar here, and then we'll see what Kyler Murray can do.
Let's stick in Arizona for a second, Mike. Patrick Peterson, the 6-game suspension announced last week. When you look at the totality of his career, 8-time Pro Bowl player, 3-time All-Pro cornerback, a guy with 23 career interceptions, whenever he retires, he's going to be a guy that you look at, okay, is he a Hall of Famer? Is he a Hall of Fame player? And I think that you can make the argument that he is. My question is this. If he were a baseball player and had coming with a 6-game suspension for what he's being suspended for, there's no doubt that he would be eliminated immediately from the discussion. That doesn't seem to be the case necessarily in football. What do you think that's going to happen in as it revolves around his Hall of Fame candidacy?
And what's strange about football, you rarely see the star player get popped for PEDs. So it's rarely even part of the conversation. Rodney Harrison carries that around because he was implicated in, I think it was an HGH ring where they were, you know, there was a credit card receipt or something like that. He never tested positive. They didn't have a test for it at the time. There have been others who have been, you know, kind of fringe guys. But if Patrick Peterson is a guy who is otherwise a viable candidate to get into the Hall of Fame, what does it mean? It's nearly half of a season gone. And it wasn't just a PED test. What he did, according to NFL Network, which is the NFL, so it's basically an announcement from the league, he tested positive for a PED, and a masking agent in the same sample. So he cheated. He tried to cover it up. He took a masking agent that was not effective enough to cover up the PED and not effective enough to remove traces of itself. So this is almost like an episode of Fargo, as this guy's stumbling around trying to pass a urine test. And it makes me wonder how long he had been using PEDs with, you know, did they finally catch up to this masking agent? Because right. That's usually what happens. The cheaters are a half step ahead of the people who are chasing them. And every once in a while, they catch up. And maybe they caught up with that masking agent. And that's what popped Peterson. And yeah, I feel like so many people just accept the fact that these guys have to be pharmaceutically enhanced to do what they do. And unlike baseball, people just don't get freaked out about it in the NFL.
Right. They don't.
No, they don't at all. Mike, Josh Rosen, and you tell me, what's the protocol here? Josh Rosen now in Miami, and he's going to learn some Fitzmagic, maybe beat him out for the job. But it, you know, seemed like a great value pickup for the Dolphins, who, again, are starting Fitzpatrick, so what the hell. But he says he never heard from Steve Keim, that he did get a phone call from Kingsbury before the draft, but even after they traded him, when they got Kyler Murray, when they made a trade, he never heard from the general manager. Are you supposed to? Is it just good form to do that? Does it? I mean, obviously he's not happy about it if he brought it up, but what's the protocol?
Well, I just think it's common sense. It's, you know, the golden rule: treat others the way that you would have them treat you, or the platinum rule: treat others the way that they want to be treated, because every person you deal with in your life has a different standard of what they expect by way of their relationship with you. But the idea that this guy was your quarterback, you traded up to get him last year, he dangles for 3 months not knowing what the Cardinals are going to do with the first overall pick, because the Cardinals wanted to keep that as close to the vest as possible, because God forbid we undermine the TV show that is the draft. And then Keim never talks to Rosen about the decision to trade for or to draft Kyler Murray. And then after they draft Kyler Murray, he doesn't reach out to Rosen. And then while, you know, everything's up in the air on that Friday, will he be traded, won't he be traded, no communication with Steve Keim. And then after he's traded, nothing from Steve Keim. Cliff Kingsbury, who never actually coached Josh Rosen in a game,
right,
reached out to him. So I just think that it's just common courtesy, common sense. At some point, you say, you know, I'm sorry about the way things worked out. This is the direction we wanted to go in. We value the time. You know, all the crap that people always say. When like, even if it's crap, you still have to check that box, right? There are certain boxes in life we check, even if we do them in a manner that isn't genuine, you still have to do it.
Kind of like Ben Roethlisberger in Pittsburgh. I mean, was he playing nice? Was he genuine in saying the things that he said about Antonio Brown? And do you expect that to continue?
I think there was a hint in the explanation that he gave as he tried to justify what he said. And, you know, because his criticism of Antonio Brown that pushed the relationship over the edge was when they were playing the Broncos last year in Denver. Brown ran a route into the end zone, and Roethlisberger threw a pass that was picked off by a defensive lineman, and Roethlisberger said on that weekly radio show he does that Antonio should have run a flatter route. Well, in his KDKA interview last night, he says, well, I really was, you know, this was all about Antonio Brown being double and triple covered all the time, and what I was really saying is I should have thrown it to Juju Smith-Schuster because he was single covered. But that's not what he said. He said Antonio didn't flatten his route. He was blaming it on Antonio Brown. So even though Roethlisberger seems to realize that he needs to try to mend fences, because I think he's more concerned about guys in the locker room who may be pro-Antonio Brown guys who are upset that he's gone and that kind of look sideways at Ben. And you know, this idea that he, you know, Ben's the dad and there's 52 kids that was perpetrated by Kevin Colbert earlier this year. I mean, I think there's some damage he needs to undo. And I think what he was trying to do last night was try to take some of the steam out of this idea that there's, you know, that he's on a pedestal above all of his teammates and he can say and do whatever he wants.
Mike, thanks a ton. It's always a joy.
Thanks,
all right,
Mike.
See you guys.
That is Mike Florio, Pro Football Talk.
Good
of course,
stuff.
NBC Sports, always.
Yeah.
I love talking to Mike Florio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey. Thank you.